Tape recorded message number TL-160. Otis Q. Sellers, Bible Teacher. I greet you in the faith and fellowship of our great God and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, whose we are, whom we love, and whom we serve. Take your Bibles and turn with me to the 25th chapter of the book of Genesis. Our studies begin with verse 19 of this chapter, where we read here to begin with, "These are the generations of Isaac." In studying the book of Genesis and becoming familiar with all that it says, it can be done by studying the history of certain men. Now, for example, if you study Adam and know what the Bible says about Adam, of course that's bound to bring in Eve. And so you have Adam and Eve, and that covers the first three chapters of Genesis. Once you know what the Bible says in Genesis about Adam and Eve, you'll know the first three chapters. You don't have to understand it all. You don't have to comprehend every statement that is made. Sometime, maybe 25 or 30 years later, you'll understand what you became familiar with. That's the way it has been in my experience, having been a Bible student now for more than a half century. But you must know all that the Bible says about Adam and Eve. And then in the fourth chapter, you come to Cain and Abel, these two brothers. And when you know what the Bible has to say about Cain and about Abel, even though you may not understand it, you might not be able to immediately clear up every difficulty, but those can wait. It will come out maybe later on in the study of the New Testament, who knows? But the fourth chapter is Cain and Abel. And when you come to the fifth chapter, your outstanding names are Enoch. And of course, Enoch was the father of Methuselah. And when you know what the Bible says about Enoch and Methuselah, then you know about the record of these men. Then you come to Noah. And once you get into the record of Noah in the sixth chapter, the book of Genesis, and from Noah go to Shem, Ham, and Japheth. That carries you all the way through to the 10th chapter, 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10. When you know what the Bible says about Noah, you're learning the story of the flood. And then beginning with the 12th chapter, after the Tower of Babel, with which no name is actually connected, but then you come to the 12th chapter, you've got the study of Abraham. And you study Abraham all the way from 12 through to 24. But when you come to the 25th chapter, then you get the start here with Isaac. And after you finish with Isaac, you get Jacob, who was the son of Isaac, Jacob and Esau. And then when you study the life of Joseph, why, you are familiar with the book of Genesis. All you've got to do is to read, pay attention carefully to what is said, keep your name straight, and remember that this goes from father to son. Like that... Adam was the father of Seth, and Seth was the father of Enoch, and Enoch father of Methuselah, and Noah comes in, and so on. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph. You're just going right down through the generations. This gives us a way that we can actually become familiar and know everything that is said in the book of Genesis. Again, I would stress that the understanding of every little detail, of every little peculiar statement is made, is not necessary. First thing is to get familiarity, and after the familiarity comes understanding. Now back to Genesis 25:19, it says, "These are the generations of Isaac, Abraham's son." So it's always carrying us forward or backward. Here it carries us back to Abraham, and it says that Isaac was Abraham's son. Abraham begat Isaac. And Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah to wife. We've already studied the story of Rebekah in the previous chapters. And Isaac was 40 years of age when he took Rebekah to wife. Men lived so much longer then that they did not need to marry around about 20 years of age. They could wait longer. And so he was a mature man and a wise man when he took Rebekah to wife. She was the daughter of Bethuel, the Syrian of Padan Aram, the sister and sister to Laban the Syrian. And Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife because she was barren. This was a serious thing to him because God had made great promise, and he entreated the Lord because she was barren. So we find out that from between the ages of 40 and 60, if you read 25, 26, Isaac was 80 years old when she bare them. So if you would compare this, would find out here that between the age of 40 and 60 that no children were produced. And this was a very serious thing, and so he entreated the Lord, and Rebekah, his wife, conceived. And the children, for there were two of them, the children struggled together within her. And she says, "If it be so, why am I thus?" And she went to inquire the Lord. For this was a time when the heavens were open, they were not silent, men were shut up to the scriptures as we are today. There was no written word for them to go to. And so, wondering about this, puzzled about this, she went to inquire of the Lord. And the Lord spoke directly to her. These people could expect that in that day. We cannot expect it in our day. We will just be deceived, and we will deceive others if we think that we can talk directly to the Lord and that the Lord talks directly to us. If so, we could get information for others, and that would make us mediators between God and men. And that simply cannot be in this dispensation, the grace of God. So she went to inquire of the Lord, and the Lord said unto her, "Two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels, and the one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger." This was a strange thing, because the younger always served the elder. That God's just going to turn thing around and say that the elder shall serve the younger. Now when her days to be delivered were fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb. Now the first came out red all over like a hairy garment, and they called his name Esau, because the hair upon his body was quite heavy, and this color was red. They called his name Esau, and the word Esau means red. That's his meaning. After that came his brother out, and his hand took hold on Esau's heel. In the process of delivery, his hand was clinging to Esau's heel, and his name was called Jacob. And Isaac was 80 years old when she bare them. So now at the age of 60, why, he is the father of twin boys. Now the boys grew. They developed. And Esau was a cunning hunter, clever, capable hunter, a man of the field. Jacob was a plain man dwelling in tents. He did not go in for any such, shall we say, almost glamorous activity like being a very clever hunter and taking the game. He was a plain man. He didn't live in the field, he lived in the tent. Esau was the type of a man who could sleep anywhere, and live anywhere, and get by anywhere. Now Isaac loved Esau, probably because he was the firstborn, but chiefly because of what we might call a stomach interest. One of the troubles with all of this was that too many times these people were too much interested in food, and food had a great influence upon them. Isaac loved Esau because he did eat of his venison, but Rebekah loved Jacob. Now Jacob sawed pottage. To sod is to boil, and pottage would just be anything cooked in a pot. You might call it a soup, a heavy soup. You might call it a stew. You might call it boiled beef. Anything at all that was cooked in a pot. And so he was, it was called pottage, and Jacob was boiling the pottage, and Esau came from the field. Now this does not mean that he had just gone out to the field for a while, but he lived in the field. The field was his home. And all at once he came in from the field. And he had been hungry. He'd had nothing to eat. There was no game to be taken. as we're going to read in the 26th chapter, in the first verse, that there was a famine in the land. And this famine had just literally driven him out of the field. And so he came to from the field, and he said to Jacob, "Feed me, I pray thee, with that same red pottage." He referred to it as being red. It may have had what we call beets in it. But he says, "Feed me of that same red pottage, for I'm faint. I'm famished." Therefore was his name called Edom. Word also that means red. And Jacob said, "Sell me this day thy birthright. Sell it to me." The birthright meant that he could be the heir of all things, that he could be the total ruler and head of the family. And Jacob said, "Sell me this day thy birthright." Esau said, "Behold, I am at the point to die, and what profit shall this birthright do to me?" He didn't think too much of it. He couldn't look into the future. It didn't seem to have much in it for the present. And he said, "I'm at the point of death, and what good's it going to do to me?" Well, Jacob said, "Swear to me this day." And he swore to him. And oaths were very binding in that day, and according to the custom. So he said, "You swear to me," and he swore to him, and he sold his birthright unto Jacob, all that he had by the right of having come forth first. So what we would say, being born first, he gave up all the rights of the firstborn. So Jacob gave Esau bread and the pottage of lentils, and he did eat and drink and rose up and went his way, and thus Esau showed no regard. He despised his birthright. Now, there's no great sin here. There's no great iniquity here. Probably the worst thing that Esau did was to despise the very promises that God had made, if he were familiar with them, and I think that he was. But he despised his birthright. Now, there was a famine in the land. That's what it was that had caused this great hunger and near death by starvation on the part of Esau. There was this famine in the land, beside the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went unto Abimelech. This is a royal title, like king or kaiser or sovereign. Abimelech, he was king of the Philistines unto Gerar. And the Lord appeared unto him and said, "Go not down into Egypt. Dwell in the land which I shall tell thee of." Don't go to Egypt, but stay in the land that I shall tell thee of. Sojourn in this land, and I'll be with thee, and will bless thee. For unto thee and unto thy seed I will give all these countries. Unto you and your descendants I will give all these countries. And I will perform the oath which I swear unto Abraham thy father. I'll make thy seed to multiply as the stars of the heaven. And you will notice that every time that the stars of the heaven, or the dust of the earth, or the whatever it might be, every time that they're mentioned, it has to do with the numerousness, the quantity, the number of Abraham's seed. I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven, and will give unto thy seed, the very seed that's to be multiplied as the stars of heaven, all these countries, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. And that is really yet to come. And the kingdom of God is a reality, and every nation upon the earth will be blessed through the seed of Abraham. He's going to do this because that Abraham obeyed my voice. Abraham obeyed God's voice. Abraham kept his charge, his commandments, his statutes, and his laws. This sets forth the character of Abraham. You see, there was a voice to be heard and believed, for faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. There were charges to be observed, and there were commandments to be obeyed. There were statutes to be acknowledged. And laws, that is, there were instructions to be followed, as the Hebrew word would bear out. all of these were being, Abraham had done this. Now notice that all of this was before the giving of the Ten Commandments. I believe that one of the greatest mistakes that theology has ever made is to get the idea that all morality and all knowledge of what's right and wrong is based upon what we commonly call the Ten Commandments. That is not right. Here was a man who obeyed God's voice, who kept God's charge, who his commandments and his statutes and his laws. And these were not written. They had come to the God through the conscience of these men, through the minds of these men. And Abraham had done this. And Isaac was to be blessed because of it. Isaac is not quite the admirable man that Abraham was. A man of faith, but not the great faith of Abraham, but he's to be blessed because of the promises that God made to Abraham. Now Isaac dwelt in Gerar, and the men of the place asked him of his wife, and he said, "She is my sister." And he feared to say, "She is my wife," lest, said he, the men of the place would kill me for Rebekah, because that she was fair to look upon. Now, you will remember this if we go back, I think it's to the 20th chapter of the book of Genesis, and we would find that in his father before him that there was about this same thing that happened. And it came to pass when he had been there a long time that Abimelech, king of the Philistines, looked out of the window and saw, and behold, Isaac was sporting with Rebekah his wife. The word sporting means caressing. He was caressing Rebekah, his wife. And I suppose in a manner that only a husband would have a right to do to a wife, but no man would do with his sister. And Abimelech called Isaac. You have to admire these men. He called Isaac and he said, "Behold, of a surety, she is your wife. And how saidst thou, she is my sister?" And Isaac said unto him, "Because I said, lest I die for her, lest I would be put to death, because they'd want to make her a widow so that she could be the possession of other men." Well, Abimelech said, "What is this that thou hast done unto us? One of the people might lightly have lain with her, and thou shouldest brought this guiltiness upon us." And here was a man who recognized the guilt that would be involved here, and this was before the law was ever given. Now Abimelech charged all his people, saying, "He that toucheth this man or his wife shall surely be put to death." And so he protected both of them. This is the hand of God, of course. Isaac has failed in a measure. He's tried to protect himself, even though the Lord had said that he would be with him, just as we read in the third verse. But Isaac is seeking by means of the flesh to protect himself rather than depend upon God. But it has worked out. God's going to keep his oath. God has said, "You stay in this land," and he was in the land. And God says, "I'll perform the oath, and I'll bless you." So he had stayed in the land, and so a decree comes forth from Abimelech. It's not a personal name. It's more like, we'd say, the president or the king or the dictator or whatever it might be. Abimelech charged all his people, saying, "He that toucheth this man or his wife shall surely be put to death." And Isaac sowed in the land. He planted a crop, received in the same year 100-fold, right there in the land of Gerar, and the Lord blessed him. Now the man waxed great and went forward and grew until he became very great. And he had possession of flocks, possession of herds, a great store, that is, a great body of servants. And the Philistines envied him. Now this envy, his prosperity, was a source of envy to the Philistines. And then we're told that all the wells which his father's servant had digged in the days of Abraham his father, the Philistines had stopped them and filled them with earth. Now, this explanation seems to be a little bit out of place, but it will fit in. And Abimelech said unto Isaac, "Go from us, for you're much mightier than we." And this was not done in friendship. This was done out of envy. And they'll regret this later on. So Abimelech says to Isaac, "Go from us. You're much mightier than we." And Isaac departed thence. Nothing else that he could do, as he was just a visitor. And Isaac departed thence and pitched his tent in the valley of Gerar and dwelt there. And Isaac digged again the wells of water, which they had digged in the days of Abraham his father. For the Philistines had stopped them after the death of Abraham, and he called their names after the names by which his father had called them. And Isaac's servants digged in the valley and found there a well of springing water, an artesian well, a free-flowing spring. And they found there in this valley a well of springing water. And the erdmen of Gerar did strive with Isaac's erdmen, saying, "The water is ours." And he called the name of the well Esek, because they strove with him. And they digged another well, and strove for that also, and he called the name of it Asitnah. And he removed from thence and digged another well, and for that they strove not, and he called the name of it Rehoboth. And he said, "For now hath the Lord made room for us, and we shall be fruitful in the land." So he has a well in a place that there's no strife concerning it, and gives its name as Rehoboth, a word really that means enlargement, because the Lord has made room for us. And he went from thence to Beersheba, and the Lord appeared unto him the same night and said, "I am the God of Abraham your father. Fear not, for I am with thee, for I will bless thee and multiply thy seed for my servant Abraham's sake." See, it's a covenant that God made with Abraham, and this has been confirmed to Isaac. "And I'll bless thee for my servant Abraham's sake." And he builded an altar there, and called upon the name of the Lord, and pitched his tent there, and there Isaac's servants digged a well, for this man was a well digger. And then Abimelech went to him from Gerar, and Ahuzath, one of his friends, and Phicol, the chief captain of the army. And Isaac said unto them, "Wherefore come ye to me, seeing ye hate me, and you've sent me away from you?" And they said, "We saw certainly that the Lord was with thee. And we said, let there be now an oath betwixt us, even betwixt us and thee, let us make a covenant with thee, that thou will do us no hurt." See, they saw his growth, his prosperity, his enlargement, and they thought, well, he's equal to us, soon he'll be greater than we are, and we'd better straighten this out, that you'll do us no hurt, for we've not touched thee, and they had not touched him. We have done nothing unto thee but good, and that was right. They had asked him to get out of their land and go somewhere else, but he says, "We've done nothing unto thee but good. Have sent thee away in peace. Thou art now the blessed of the Lord." Well, he made them a feast, and they did eat and drink, and they rose up betimes in the morning and swear one to another, and Isaac sent them away, and they departed from him in peace, with a union between them, that he would do them no hurt. It came to pass the same day that Isaac's servants came and told him concerning the well which they had digged, and said unto him, "We have found water." And he called it Sheba. Therefore the name of the city is Beersheba unto this day. And Esau was 40 years old when he took to wife Judith, the daughter of Beeri the Hittite, and Bashemath, the daughter of Elon the Hittite. And this was a grief of mine unto Isaac and of Rebekah, for him to do this and to marry out of his kind and out of his class. It was a great grief of mine unto Isaac and to Rebekah. Now we come to the 27th chapter. It came to pass that when Isaac was old and his eyes were dim. Now, it wasn't just a case of an alert man with bad eyes, but he was old, his eyes were dim so that he could not see. I believe his mental faculties have deteriorated. He called Esau, his eldest son, and said unto him, "My son." And he said, "Behold, here am I." And he said, "Behold, now I am old. I know not the day of my death." He realized that he just couldn't tell any day that he might die. He says, "Now therefore take, I pray thee, thy weapons, thy quiver, and thy bow, and go out in the field and take me some venison." He was certainly a man who put food first. I think that was one of his great faults. And, you know, a lot of Christians do this today. They're always looking for that food, fun, and fellowship, and especially the food. And they just put it first, and if there's no food, no fun, no fellowship, they want nothing to do with such a group. And Isaac was this kind of a man, and we see it gets him into difficulties. He says, I pray thee you take your weapons and go out and get some venison. Make me savory meat such as I love, and bring it to me that I may eat, that my soul may bless thee before I die. Here is a man facing death, and had important things to take care of and do, and yet his mind seemed to be preeminently upon food. And Rebekah heard when Isaac spake to Esau his son. And Esau went to the field to hunt for venison and to bring it. And Rebekah spake unto Jacob her son, saying, Behold, I heard thy father speak unto Esau thy brother, saying, Bring me venison and make me savory meat that I may eat, and bless thee before the Lord before my death. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice according to that which I command thee. Go now to the flock, and fetch me from thence 2 good kids of the goats. I will make them savory meat for thy father, which such as he loveth. And thou shalt bring it to thy father, that he may eat, he may bless thee before his death. And Jacob said to Rebekah his mother, Behold, Esau, my brother, is a hairy man, the body covered with hair, and I'm a smooth man. My father peradventure will feel me, and I shall seem to him as a deceiver, and I shall bring a curse upon me, and not a blessing. And his mother said unto him, Upon me be thy curse, my son, and obey my voice, and go fetch me then. So he went and fetched and brought them to his mother, and his mother made savory meat such as his father loved. And Rebekah took goodly raiment of her eldest son Esau, which were with her in the house, put them upon Jacob, her younger son. She put the skins of the kids of the goats upon his hands and upon the smooth of his neck. And she gave the savory meat and the bread which she had prepared in the hand of her son Jacob. And he came and said unto his father, and he came to his father and said, My father, and he said, Here am I, who art thou, my son? Jacob said unto his father, I am Esau, thy firstborn. And, of course, that implies I have all the rights of the firstborn. I have done according as thou badest me. Arise, I pray thee, sit and eat of my venison, that thy soul may bless me. Now, this is just a case here of trying to do things in the flesh that God's going to do himself, that God has said he would do. It still reminds us of Israel and those who would help of trying to restore Israel to the land and fulfill the promises that God has made by warfare and by conquest and often by murder, as has been done. So we see this all the time, even yet today, and the very thing that God said he was going to do, they're trying to do here in the strength and the wisdom of the flesh. Isaac said unto his son, this is verse 20, Isaac said unto his son, How is it thou hast found us so quickly, my son? And he said, Because the Lord thy God brought it to me. Now that's what you call taking the name of the Lord in vain, using the name of the Lord to cover up something. It isn't always blasphemy, but when you bring in the name of the Lord, The Lord did this, and the Lord did that, and the Lord gave me this, and the Lord gave me that, and you have really no right to say it, then you're just taking the name of the Lord in vain. And when he said this, the Lord thy God brought it to me, he was not only telling an untruth, but he was taking the name of the Lord as an empty thing. Well, the commandment had not yet been spoken, either Thou shalt not bear false witness, which was partly what he was doing, or thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, although that was what he was doing. Verse 21, Isaac said unto Jacob, Come near, I pray thee, that I may feel thee, my son, whether thou be my very son Esau or not. And Jacob went near unto Isaac his father, and he felt him and said, The voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau. And he discerned him not, because his hands were hairy, as his brother's Esau had. So he blessed him. And he said, Art thou my very son Esau? And he said, I am. And he said, bring it near to me, and I will eat of my son's venison, that my soul may bless thee. And he brought it near to him, and he did eat. He brought him wine, and he drank. And his father Isaac said unto him, come near now, and kiss me, my son. And he came near and kissed him, and he smelled the smell of his raiment, and blessed him, and said, see, the smell of my son is the smell of a field which the Lord hath blessed. Therefore God give thee of the dew of heaven, the fatness of the earth, and plenty of corn and wine. Let people serve thee, and nations bow down to thee. Be lord over thy brethren, and let thy mother's son be bow down to thee. Cursed be every one that curseth thee, and blessed be he that blesseth thee. Now God's going to do this, not because of what Isaac says, but God's going to do it because of the promises that were made to Abraham. However, all that happened here is that Esau is set aside because this was a firm thing and it was a commitment and it couldn't be altered once it was spoken. And Esau is just set aside here as the firstborn, the heir, and Isaac takes his place. And it's just a matter of who will serve whom, and instead of Isaac serving Jacob, Jacob is to serve Isaac. Verse 30, came to pass as soon as Isaac had made an end of blessing Jacob, and Jacob was yet scarce gone out from the presence of Isaac his father, that Esau his brother came in from his hunting. He also had made savory meat and brought it unto his father, and said unto his father, let my father arise and eat of his son's venison, that thy soul may bless me. And Isaac his father said unto him, who art thou? And he said, I'm your son, your firstborn Esau. And Isaac trembled very exceedingly and said, who? Where is he that hath taken venison and brought it to me? And I have eaten all before thou camest and have blessed him. Yea, and he shall be blessed. I've done it, and he can't be changed. When Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with a great and exceeding bitter cry, said unto his father, bless me even also, O my father. And he said, your brother came with subtlety and hath taken away thy blessing. And he said, is not he rightly named Jacob? A word that means a supplanter. For he hath supplanted me these two times. He took away my birthright. And behold, now he hath taken away my blessing. And he said, that is Esau said, hast thou not reserved the blessing for me? And Isaac answered and said unto Esau, behold, I have made him your lord, and all his brethren have I given to him for service. And with corn and wine have I sustained him. And what will I do now unto thee, my son? And Esau said unto his father, hast thou but one blessing, my father? Bless me, even me also, O my father. And Esau lifted up his voice, and he wept. And Isaac his father answered and said unto him, behold, thy dwelling shall be with the fatness of the earth, and of the dew of heaven from above. And by thy sword shalt thou live, and shall serve thy brother, and shall come to pass, when thou shalt have the dominion, that thou shalt break his yoke from off thy neck. And Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing wherewith his father blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, the days of mourning for my father at hand. Then will I slay my brother Jacob. And these words of Esau, her elder son, were told to Rebekah. And she sent and called Jacob her younger son and said unto him, behold, thy brother Esau is touching thee, doth comfort himself. He's just become quiet, but his purpose is to kill thee. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice, and arise, flee thou to Laban, my brother, to Haran, and tarry with him a few days, until thy brother's fury turn away, until thy brother's anger turn away from thee, and he forget that which thou hast done to him. Then I will send and fetch thee from thence. Why should I be deprived also of you both in one day? And Rebekah said to Isaac, I am weary of my life because of the daughters of Heth. If Jacob take a wife of the daughters of Heth, such all these which are the daughters of the land, what good shall my life be? She did not care for these people the way in which she lived, and now she does not want him to take a wife from the daughters of Heth. We go on to the 28th chapter. And Isaac called Jacob and blessed him and charged him and said unto him, Thou shalt not take a wife the daughters of Canaan. These people of Canaan were already deeply involved in the sin for which God has sent the flood upon the earth. And the seed of Israel be involved in some of this fallen angel seed, he said, Thou shalt not take a wife the daughters of Canaan. Arise, go to Padan Aram, the house of Bethuel, thy mother's father. Take thee a wife from thence the daughters of Laban, thy mother's brother. And God Almighty bless thee, and make thee fruitful, and multiply thee, that thou mayest be a multitude of people. That is the word kahal, Q-A-H-A-L, which compares with our word ecclesia in the New Testament. And this would mean that you might be a representative nation, and you might be a kahal, an ecclesia of people. An ecclesia is that which represents others, stands in a mediatorial position. And give thee the blessing of Abraham, to thee and to thy seed with thee, that thou mayest inherit the land wherein thou art a stranger, which God gave unto Abraham. Now God gave it to Abraham, and yet fulfill that promise. And Isaac sent away Jacob, and he went to Padan Aram, and to Laban, son of Bethuel, the Syrian, the brother of Rebekah, Jacob, and Esau's mother. Now, remember that these interrelationships here were meaningless in this time. They were not forbidden, and they were commonly practiced. And as we now see the record, it is best that they were. That was for that time. Later, such unions will be forbidden. We continue here with the seventh verse. And that Jacob obeyed his father and his mother and was gone to Padan Aram. And Esau, seeing that the daughters of Canaan pleased not Isaac his father, then went Esau unto Ishmael, and took unto the wives which he had, Mahalath, the daughter of Ishmael, Abraham's son, the sister of Nebajoth, to be his wife. And Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran. And he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night because the sun was set. He took the stones of that place and put them for pillows and lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set upon the earth and the top of it. The word there is roish, which commonly means head, but of course since the head is always the top, this shows that how words can be adapted that the very top of a thing would be called the head. It reached to heaven. Behold, the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. We would call it more or less a stairway. They call it a ladder. But it would be best to recognize this as being a stairway that led right into heaven. He saw the angels of God going up and down it. 13, behold, Jehovah stood above it and said, I am the Lord, I am Jehovah, the God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land whereon you lay, where you liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth. Sometimes it said as the sand of the sea. Sometimes it says the stars of heaven. But every time it says it, it doesn't mean three different kinds of seed. It doesn't have anything to do with a so-called heavenly seed and an earthly seed. All it has to do is with the multitude, the numerousness of this people. And thou shalt spread abroad the west, the east, the north, the south, and in thee and thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And behold, I am with thee, and I'll keep thee in all places whither thou goest. I will bring thee again into this land, for I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. And Jacob awaked out of his sleep, and he said, Surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. He was afraid and said, How dreadful is this place? How awe-inspiring is this place? This is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. And Jacob rose up early in the morning, took the stone that he had put for his pillows, and set it up for a pillow, and poured oil upon the top of it, that is, upon the head of it, the headstone on this pillar. He poured oil upon the top of it. He called the name of that place Bethel. We would commonly say Bethel, but believe it would be Bethel. The word means the house of God. Beth for house and El for God, and the name was Bethel, but the name of that place was called Luz at the first. And Jacob vowed a vow, saying, if God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go, will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. Now, there's no lack of faith here. Jacob is a man who's worthy of a lot of criticism. Just like I'm worthy of a lot of criticism, and you're probably worthy of a lot of criticism, but don't give me more than I deserve, and may I never give you more than you deserve. This man was worthy of much criticism. But we're just not going to try to condemn everything. The idea is here, he says, that God said, I'll be with you. And I'll so on. He's already promised that. And so he says, seeing that God will be with me, and God will keep me in the way I go, and he'll give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I come again to this house in peace. Then, or as we'd say, all right then, the Lord will be my God. He's decided that Jehovah will be his God right here from that time on. And this stone which I set for a pillar shall be God's house. And of all that thou shalt give me, I shall surely give the tenth of it unto thee. So here he promises a tithe and promises that this shall be given in sacrifice, of course, unto the Lord. We've already mentioned that Jacob is a man who's worthy of much criticism. He is a man that had many failures in his life. There is a passage in the Psalms that says, blessed is he who hath the God of Jacob for his God. For to a certain extent, this man was a crook, and this man was a supplanter. This man was a deceiver, and this man was a cheat. But he had God for his God, and oh, blessed is he who has the God that takes the weaklings, that takes the failures, that takes the sinners and becomes their savior and sticks with them and sees it all the way through. And how happy is he who has the God of Jacob for his God. Well, that completes this portion of our study. Time is just about out. It has been my joy to teach you, although this is little more than Bible reading. It is a blessing to me to do it, and I trust that you're receiving a blessing from it. So till we meet again around the page of God's book, I bid you goodbye.